This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, and I welcome Germanicus on a Saturday evening. Our cup of wine by the Thames, it is 90 AD in Londinium. Our emperor has been busy these last years, and because Germanicus and I can peer into the 21st century and view this present confrontation over Ukraine between NATO, led by the United States, and the Russian Federation, led by the Kremlin, we look for analogies here in our own time because we celebrate the might of Rome. But the might of Rome is filled with rebellions and people who betray the emperor or speak well of the emperor and then behind his back. And it occurs to Germanicus and I to discuss the present controversy, brouhaha, in the 21st century in terms of a revolt. Ukraine has revolted from the center, from Rome. Ukraine is a subset of the Russian Empire, the Roman Empire. We're analogizing the Roman Empire to the Russian Empire. And it's been more than 30 years with Ukraine independently preening itself with its usual acts of generosity and greed. And now the Russians have come calling. They've rebuilt their strength, and the emperor, a.k.a. Putin, says that it is time for Ukraine to come home. So I read from an account of a rebellion in Domitian's time. This is just last year for Germanicus and I. This is the revolt of a general named Saturninus. Quote, "There was always the danger that a concentration of Roman forces might give an aggrieved provincial governor or legionary commander officer ideas about mounting a rebellion. In 89 AD, 1st century AD, during the reign of the increasingly paranoid and cruel emperor Domitian," that's an editorial remark by the historians Cassius Dio, "Lucius Antonius Saturninus, governor of Germania Superior, used the fact that he had Legio 14 and Legio 21 together at Mainz to lead a revolt. The rising only collapsed because the frozen Rhine thawed out unexpectedly, climate change, preventing the German allies from joining Saturninus on the other side of the river. Saturninus was defeated by another Roman general, called upon by Domitian, Norbanus. Domitian then moved to prevent other governors or generals from taking similar action. One of his precautions was to ban soldiers from having more than 250 denarii per head in the unit's savings so that a would-be rebel could not take advantage of the money." In other words, he beggared the empire. "Domitian also followed the rebellion up with a purge, preventing any record being made so that no one would know how many victims had been executed. Remember, our emperor is very strong, very aggressive, and hated by the Senate. For his part, Norbanus, the general who did the dirty work, had all of Saturninus's papers destroyed to prevent any blackmailing, because there's reason to believe that Saturninus and Norbanus had been in correspondence before the two met on the field of battle." Germanicus, I turn from this, the way that our emperor Domitian dealt with the revolt, to how you measure the emperor Putin will deal with the revolt of this, opportunistic Zelensky. Good evening to you, Germanicus.
Good evening, Gaius. You posit a very interesting and different lens through which to look at the current situation. And the U.S. lens, since the fall of the Soviet Union, 1991, has been to look at the succeeding kingdoms as the Commonwealth of Independent States in the sense that, say, Belarus or Ukraine or Kazakhstan were now completely separate sovereign entities and equal in their own way to the Russian Federation itself. And frankly, that is a read that is very convenient for the U.S. and allows for tremendous freedom of action for the U.S. to think about bringing some of these so-called independent states like Georgia and then Ukraine into NATO as part of its unstoppable, in the eyes of the U.S. and its allies, the unstoppable march of Western democracy as it moves farther and farther east. Well, you know, if you look at the concept of a commonwealth of states, it presupposes an alternative, more traditional interpretation in which the states, although being independent, are at the same time still deeply united by fraternal bonds, by shared identity, shared legacies of origin, and shared narratives of their development together. And certainly, Mr. Putin just recently released a paper that he had written about how Ukraine and Russia, and by the way, of course, Belarus, were all one people and had all emerged from and evolved out of the original concept of Rusland, going back to the ancient days before the Mongols invaded, where the Rus was centered around Kiev. And this has been part of the Russian imperial narrative for several centuries, and thus it's a part of the consciousness of peoples in the former Soviet Union, the former Russian Empire. And so that interpretation, though more demanding and imagining or pushing for a more unified sort of relationship between the constituent states, is a part of the core of Putin's grand strategy and is embodied in the security arrangements, CSTO, and also the Eurasian Economic Union that would sort of create something not too dissimilar from the European Union, which, of course, is also a union of independent states. And so this interpretation could be the basis for Putin's overall strategic goal. And it certainly is a concept that is not alien to Ukrainians. They know about it, and the relationship between Ukraine and Russia since the fall of the Soviet Union has revealed many dimensions of just such a relationship. It's simply that you have put this in the context of a Ukrainian revolt. And indeed, I think from the standpoint of Russian worldview, many Russians would see the Ukraine fleeing to the EU and NATO as essentially rebelling against the concept of a commonwealth or even a federated empire that would be the true successor state for the Russian Empire, and that would threaten the integrity and the unity of the Rus itself.
As Saturninus and subscribed to the idea that he could raise as many German cavalry as he wanted in order to revolt from Domitian, Zelensky thinks he can fill his arsenals with as much military equipment from NATO as he wants in a revolt from Putin.
It's very apposite to bring up Saturninus. And, you know, you can look at the revolts in the 3rd century, especially one that included all of Gaul and Britain, that was an independent state for 20 years. And essentially, the problem of Roman civil wars was really a problem at heart of rebelling against the constitutional foundation of Rome, and in the process, inevitably creating new identities. And of course, Ukraine has had amorphous, shape-shifting identities throughout its history, where it could, in fact, be, you know, pushed toward Poland, which it did for a long time until the 18th century. And that, of course, is the Western push. It was pulled south by the Ottomans when they had the Khanate of Crimea for centuries. And it can also be pulled into a independent rogue state, which it did under the Zaporozhian Cossacks, for example, in the 17th century. Or it can be pulled, again, back into the bosom, as it were, of Mother Russia. And therefore, the idea of a revolt has all sorts of massive long-term historical consequences. And Mr. Putin is not going to let Ukraine slip away and be left with a shrunken, stunted Russian Commonwealth with just, Kazakhstan and Belarus as members. It is unthinkable to him. And so, essentially, this is a suppression of a historic cultural rebellion.
Let us look at the fact that the emperor has sent Norbanus to tame Saturninus the rebel. And he's marching on him now, even though Norbanus knows that he could be compromised because he's had thoughts of his own of rebelling. But in any event, I'm speaking to Germanicus, and he's now diagrammed how it is that the emperor in Rome and the emperor in Moscow are going to tame the rebel in Germania Superior and the rebel in Ukraine. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. When we come back, the contest on the battlefield. I'm John Batchelor.